Well, good morning, and Merry Christmas. You know, the focus of the worship service already and the songs that we sung and Pastor Tom leading us in prayer, what a great thing to celebrate the coming of that one that is Savior of the world, the Messiah, the Lord of all, and the one that is with us through all the things that we go through. Would you open up your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 15? Romans chapter 15, we're going to look at this passage for a second time, verses 14 through 21. We looked at it last week, we'll finish it up this week. So go ahead and pull out from your bulletins your outlines for today's message. It'll help you follow along. So it's Romans 15, looking at verses 14 through 21. And as you find your place there and get your outline out, last week we began to look at this text and we noted that its focus is on the Apostle Paul and why he wrote this church with so much boldness. That's really the big picture is what we're looking at. He's defending his boldness to say the things that he has said through the whole entire letter. The key word is found in verse 15. It says, "But I have written very boldly to you on some points." And we went through that last week and looked at many, many of them. There's a lot of them there, but that's the focus of the Apostle Paul. He wants to defend his boldness, and we define boldness as, it's in your outline there, to have courage or confidence to do something. To have courage or confidence to do something. Here it refers to writing or saying what God's word says, what needs to be said, the truth of God. And that's what we looked at last week, and we're going to look at it again today. The Apostle Paul defends that, "I'm just telling you what the word of God says. I'm just telling you in some points what God says, what God wants, who he is, why he came, what he did, how we're to live our life, those kind of things." He was just bold in saying them. The Apostle Paul spoke boldly. He spoke boldly the word of God. He spoke boldly the gospel of Christ. He spoke boldly the way of the Lord for the church to live consistently and continually. He always was. He had courage to do so. In Ephesians 6, listen to this. Let me just run through some passages. In Ephesians 6, verse 19 and 20, the Apostle Paul asked the church to pray for him. Listen to what he said. He said, "And pray on my behalf that utterances may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." To the church of Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, listen to him, what he wrote here and said here, "For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But after we had already suffered and been mistreated in Philippi, and you know, we had the boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God amid much opposition. For our exhortation does not come from error or impurity or by the way of deceit, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who examines our heart." That's boldness, isn't it? Let's just say the gospel. We're not here to please men. We're not here to please each other. We're not here in that sense. Yes, we're to be pleasing to one another. That was a message back. Well, don't let me contradict what God's word says. But really, we're here to say what God has to say and teach what God has to want us to learn. We're here to teach and preach and learn the word of God. And the true gospel is the only one that has power of God unto salvation, the truth of the gospel. And Paul has always been bold to talk about that. He's always had the courage to do that. I want you to listen in Acts 4. Here in the early church, I want to listen to this, Acts 4, verse 19 and 20. Peter and John, after being threatened and commanded not to speak or teach in the name of the Lord. May that be coming our way? Commanded to say, "You cannot preach, Pastor Ken, in the name of the Lord, those things. You cannot say them in this country any longer." Right? Or maybe in our heart that says somebody coming against us, but Peter and John, after being threatened and commanded not to speak and teach in the name of the Lord, listen to what they said in Acts 4, verse 19 and 20. "But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and what we've heard." That's bold. That's our life, what God's wanting in our life. But listen to the end of Acts 4. So they returned back to the church. Peter and John, they returned to the church. Listen to what happened, verse 31. "And when they had prayed," they, the church, the family of God, us, "the place where they were had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness." That's the early church. telling everybody, telling each other the gospel, the truth of God, the way that God has for us to live. They began to be bold in talking about God's truth, God's word. The early church spoke with boldness. Then back in Romans, if you look at this, last week we saw in Romans 15, 14, look at it with me. Verse 14, look at it. And Paul says, "And concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and able to also to admonish one another." All that the Apostle Paul had written so boldly about to the church in Rome, the book of Romans, Paul is convinced that they can speak about it to each other and those that are lost. I'm convinced. To admonish, it's in your outline there. It means to provide instruction as to correct behavior and belief. To come alongside in love and care, you're able to provide instruction as to correct behavior and belief. To say boldly what God's word has says, to instruct and teach. Can I illustrate it for you? Can I illustrate it for you? Kaya, can I use you today? You can just stay right there. He'll let me use you. Me and Kaya are friends, and he loves me, and I know that. So, admonish. This is what he's talking about. As someone that would care about you, is to come and say, ask how you're doing and know about your life and see the things in your life where God's at work at and see the sometimes the things we don't really understand or struggle with. To come alongside in a caring, loving way and say, "Kai, I want to help you see this or with that, or what do you think of this with God's word says that we're to honor mother and father." One of those kind of things, those things that we're trying to learn and grow in, and what's that look like, and how we are to be an encouragement to others. That's admonishment. Thank you for letting me use the illustration. He's going to remember that forever, right? Pastor Kidd came down and admonished me. That didn't seem so bad, did it? But see, it includes when you got to come alongside someone and say, you know, stop. This isn't the Lord. This isn't what God has for us in our life. I know you struggle. I know you have hard things. I know that. But here I am. I love you. I care about you. I'll let the Lord use me in any way to help you with those things in your life. But let me show you the truth of God's word and what it says right here in the text and what you're putting in your mind that's drawing you away or not allowing you to love the Lord. Or it's that too. But it's the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? I need it saved, always need saved, need rescued, delivered. I know my sins are paid for, but God is at work in my life sanctifying me. I need the Lord to help me through his word. And the body of Christ comes along to admonish, to say what needs to be said. That's what God wants us to be, bold. Scripture in Ephesians 6:4 says it calls parents to do this too. Let me connect this in your heart and mind, how the family of God does this. It says, bring your children up in the discipline and instruction, same word, admonish, men of the Lord. True faith is what you desire in your children's life. You desire them walking with the Lord correctly is what is your heart's desire in your life. You have to come alongside and instruct. You got to tell them and teach them and say, this is the true way of the Lord. You got to come along and say, this is what God wants us to believe and trust in. And this is the correct behavior and the way it is. And yes, I fall short too, and we all do. That's why we needed the Savior and why we got the Holy Spirit and God's Word to guide and lead us. You see, it's all the same thing, you guys. It didn't change from parent to kids, from church family to church family. We still all have the same responsibility in the Word of God. Look at the front of your bulletin. Look what the Apostle Paul said to the church in Colossae. We proclaim him. You know that we is us? We proclaim him. Proclaim is words. Live our life backing up what we say. Live our life being a testimony of the Lord. But proclaim is saying the truth about Christ, the truth about Romans 7, admonishing, coming alongside every man and teaching every man with all wisdom so that we may present every man complete in Christ. Any gospel presentation needs this also. Spoken, speaking, proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, our focus last week was to ask the question, what's the heart behind our boldness? So what kind of heart? What's behind us being bold, you know, in the truth of God, in the truth of his word? What falls in behind that? What's the heart of a person or a church family that will say the truth of God that needs to be said, that will share the truth of Christ to the lost? Then just in review, we looked at three simple things out of 2 Corinthians. We began in verse in chapter 2 and verse 14 through 17. The first one we looked at, and it's on your outline, this is the front part of it. The first one we looked at, the heart behind this, is a sweet aroma. Let me remind you what it said. It said, Christ manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. Really? It's not that you put right guard on and showered. It's not that even that you live a righteous life, which backs it up. But the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Christ is the truth of God's word, is it not? It's the true gospel. It's the true hope. It's the answer that everybody on this planet actually in their heart knows they need to hear. And we pray for them to hear. And what I need to hear. Listen to what he says. Christ manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. For we are not like many peddling the word of God. But as from sincerity, but as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God. There's one heart reason. The second one we looked at was from chapter 3, verse 12, where the Apostle Paul says, since why we speak boldly, since we have such a hope because of the new life that we have in Christ, a new covenant relationship with the Lord and all that it includes, he says we use great boldness in our speech. See, the hope of Christ infiltrates every circumstance. And that's something in the body of Christ. Thank you, Tom, for praying about that today and bringing that up, because all of us recognize our world today, don't we? It's not an elephant in the room, because the church is not ignoring it. But the church isn't enamored with it, because the hope of Christ infiltrates all of our lives. Because of the hope that we have in Christ, because of the truth that we know that God is at work in all things, because of all of that, we have hope, so we speak boldly. And then the number three, as we looked at last week, the main one, the centered or central heart behind boldness, the love of Christ. That's what God says it is. And that came from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. Paul says in verse 13, he says, if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Take that this way. So if we're so excited for your walk with the Lord that it looks like we're kind of losing it, that'd be great to be so excited for each other's walk with the Lord that we all look like we're kind of losing it, right? That we're so enamored, so excited about each other's walk for the Lord. But it's for God. And then he says this, but if we are of sound mind, it's for you. Meaning that we say boldly, God's truth alone is for you. And then this in verse 14, for the love of Christ controls us. For the love of Christ compels us. The love of Christ for us, our love for the Lord, is our heart behind all of this. So as you turn your outline over, that's a review of what we talked about last week. So as you turn that outline over, let's look at the text one more time. Let's look at the passage once again. The Apostle Paul gives 4 points in defense of his boldness. 4 points, 4 reasons. Paul is a partner in the faith. Paul's a priest, he's a preacher, he's a pioneer. We'll get to what those mean. And as we look at these 4 points, 4 reasons to defend his boldness, to say God's truth to the church and say it to the lost, you're going to see something here. You're going to see these are our reasons to speak boldly. For we are all these things also in Christ, partners in faith, priests, preachers, pioneers. Motivation, our heart is to love Christ like Christ loves us. But here's some reasons to speak boldly. Side note, before we get into this, just wanting to make sure that we don't use our words wrongly. Boldly doesn't allow you to be rude, uncaring, or inconsiderate in what you say. It doesn't allow that. We all know Ephesians 4:29, right? Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word that is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that you will give grace to those that hear. Now, the need of the moment, you might need to admonish something clearly. This is what God's word says. This is the way it is. This is how he wants us to live. This is obedience to the Lord. This is what he says we're to believe. This is what we're to trust. Those kind of things. But you have no room to be unwholesome in it. It's to be building up, right? To be building up. Building up sometimes is giving recognition to something in your life that is tearing you down in your walk with the Lord, not being helpful in your walk with the Lord. To build you up, we have to, sometimes, Brian, right, when you build, you have to take that plank back off because you recognize you built it wrong. It's on the foundation that doesn't work. Happens in my life with the Lord, with this truth, and then God builds me up by sometimes causing me to see something, repent, confess, change. And then we all know Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, right? Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Oh, I forgot to read 5. Let me read it again, 5 and 6. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making most of your opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. So in our response to Christ, to love him, to be bold in saying God's truth, there's no room for rudeness, uncaring, inconsiderate ways of communication. Amen? But we still need to say what we need to say. All right. Are you with me? Here we are, Romans chapter 15, looking at verses 14 through 21. Back of your outline. Now, the first defense for being bold, Paul is a partner in faith. Look at these first two verses. Look what he says. And concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. But I've written you very boldly to you on some points so as to remind you again because of the grace that was given to me from God. Now, you heard what he said. He's connecting some things here, connecting in our understanding of who we are. He says this, you can do this also, but I want you to notice he says this, and concerning you, my brethren. I want you to recognize how he's talking. I want you to notice that. Paul calls them my brethren. It's endearing. You guys are my brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul is saying, in spite of all that I've written to you, and strong, bold reminders to the truth of salvation, all the admonishments to obedience, all the telling you you got to mortify your flesh, all talking about you serving each other in love and humility, all of Romans, and he says, do you have this fruit in you of goodness in your life? That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You're believers in Christ. You have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You have goodness going on in your life like I do in mine. It's like you're living at Ephesians 5, 8, and 9. You're lights in the Lord in this world. We're walking as children of light. That's Ephesians 5, 8, and 9. You are a light in the world, and you are seeking to walk as children of light. That light consists of all goodness, the Word of God says, all righteousness and truth. You're doing that. Did you hear what he was saying? We're in this together. We're partnering in faith. You're doing what I'm doing. We're trying to walk as children of light. We're trying to do the things that God wants us to do. My brethren, he's showing that they're partners in what's going on. Do you know we're partners in what's going on? I want you to just look around the room and look at your partners of what's going on. This may not be all of them, but go ahead, do it. Go ahead, look around the room. I know some of us are hard to look at, but go ahead, look. No, look. Look over there. Look over there, in God's truth, in God's word, God says you have a body of Christ, you have partners in the faith. Anybody got partners in their business? No one? I want you to see what God is saying here. Paul says, in defense of me speaking boldly, wait a minute, we're partners in faith. Hey, we're in this thing together. Paul is a partner in faith with me. He's not here anymore, but the ones that went before are. We're all partnering together. We are all in a journey of growing in goodness, knowledge, truth of Christ, living out that truth. Amen? But brethren, family, loved ones, to those who belong to God's household, we are partners in the faith to remind each other of God's truth, God's way. That's what I'm doing. That's what you do. Peter said in 2 Peter 1:12, to stir up your minds by the way of the reminder. Sometimes it takes bold statements, bold saying, boldness to stir our minds up by way of reminder. We are to employ our gifts in serving and teaching one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, 1 Peter 4:10, 11. Paul told Timothy, listen to this, 1 Timothy 4:6 and 7, to be pointing these things out, these truths of God and the ways of God, the way we live. You will be a good steward of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of faith and of sound doctrine which you have been following. It's kind of what I'm doing today, isn't it? That's what I'm doing today, isn't it? To a body of Christ, this is a calling. We're all different. We all have different roles in this, but we are partners in faith. I want you to turn your Bibles to Philippians, the book of Philippians. I want you to look at chapter 1. I want us to really kind of spend a little time on here on the richness of what Paul is talking about when he's saying, hey, we're all partners in faith here. So you can see how the Apostle Paul sees it, but where God is going on in our life. Philippians chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 3 through 8, just a little short, brief thing we'll look at here. But I want to see the richness of this for us as well. Now, you may be overwhelmed with all the things in your life. Maybe you're overwhelmed with all your extended family. Maybe you're overwhelmed with all the different kind of people in your life and all that kind of stuff. But there is no other place in the world, and that's going on in life, that God says, these are your partners in faith. I'm going to be with you eternity. I'm going to be you. We'll be there a billion years, and that's the first hour. Okay? This life doesn't compare to that, does it? And so in here, he's given us each other as partners in the faith, right? Paul says, I'm a partner in faith. Why wouldn't I tell you what I need to tell you? Right? Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 and following. He says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. Do you know we're partners in that? I mean, solid, close, real partners in participation in the gospel. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. You know we're a partner in that too? You know God is at work in your life? God's at work in your life. Right, Francis? You got partners in that work. Right? And then God's at work in my life, and then you're a partner in that, right? That's God's design. I didn't make it up. Right? Sometimes I'd want to pick and choose some out of the... I got some crazy aunts and uncles in the church, okay? Right? Some relatives here that, you know, not blood relatives, you guys that are in part of my family of God, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, let's be real. We're all who we are. But listen to the Apostle Paul. Listen to how he is. I want you to catch the richness for you. In view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now, and I'm confident this very thing that God began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus, for it's only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart. Since both in my imprisonment, in the defense, and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. You're a partner in it. What's got going on in my life? We're partners. What's going on in each other's life? Verse 8, for God is my witness how I long for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something. That's the way I feel about you. Right there. I have you in my heart. You're partners in the faith. We're partakers of the grace of God. God is my witness how I long for you with the affection that's in my heart. You know that's how the elders feel about you? You know what God is at work in your life? That you feel that way about each other. That's what he's doing. That's what he's doing in each one of our lives. You know, sometimes I fail to live this out. I need the Lord to keep working in my life, straighten out my priorities, lead me, guide me to be a better partner in the faith with you. But we're partners. That's a reason we speak boldly God's truth to each other. That's a good defense for that, isn't it? As he moves on, listen to what he says. Second defense, look at verse 16. I need to explain a little bit here. But Paul's a priest. Not the priest like you're thinking might be. But look at verse 16. To be a minister, so the grace given me from God, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest the gospel of God, so that my offering of the Gentiles may become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Now, under the new covenant relationship that we found in Jesus Christ, he's our perfect and eternal high priest. There's no more Old Testament priesthood. And there is one mediator between God and men, and it's the man Christ Jesus. And Scripture affirms to us that because of our salvation, we have full access to God. You have, I have, none of us have any need for someone to go to God on our behalf and intercede for us. Christ intercedes for us, but we don't need to go to some human person and have them get access to God, to the Father. That's over. That's Old Testament priesthood. That's what went on then. Does it go on now? You know why? Because we're all a priesthood. We all have full access to the Father by the Holy Spirit. Even He calls us a priesthood. A royal priesthood is what God calls us now. And see, so we don't need a priest to go in between. So Paul's not a priest going in between in that sense. That's not what he's talking about. Don't need Old Testament priesthood. We're talking about a New Testament priesthood. The idea of the priesthood here comes from 1 Peter 2 and 5, where it says, we are living stones, Christians, in God's house. And He is building the house into His dwelling place of God, Ephesians 2. But He says this, we are living stones and are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, New Testament priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. My life, your life now, we're a holy priesthood. We're priests. We have full access to the Father. And what we do is we offer up the things in our life. We offer up our life to Him as worship, as spiritual sacrifices, as acceptable to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see what Paul's talking about? And what Paul does is he shares the true gospel, the only gospel, the truth of the gospel to the Gentiles. So what happens in their life is that they put their faith in Christ and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's an offering that He makes the gospel to God that it's true so that the people that believe it get saved, and it's acceptable to God because the power of the Holy Spirit changed their life. He's a priest in that manner. So are you. You have a responsibility to share the true gospel because it's an offering to God as a sacrifice to the Lord of the gospel of God, and the only way that it becomes acceptable is that it's the truth believed, which lives are changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? So we are priests. Later in chapter 2 of verse 9 of 1 Peter says this, we are now a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. In your priesthood, that's what you offer to God, my mouth, and I proclaim the excellencies of Him in a dark world, but I've been called out of. We all are that. We all are. So we're all priests, and like Paul, we offer up to God our worship, our lives, as our body and mind and wills, as a holy sacrifice to God, Romans 12, 1 and 2, right? Remember that? And we, like Paul, offer God the proclaiming and ministering of the true gospel to God, as Paul did, so the Gentiles would believe the truth of the gospel and be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. We're partners in that also. Always. Third point in defense of boldness. Stay with me here, verses 17 through 19. Paul is a preacher. Paul is a preacher. Look at it with me, 17 through 19. He says this, therefore, in Christ Jesus, I found a reason for boasting in the things pertaining to God, for I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed, in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Holy Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about as far as Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. The Apostle Paul's apostolic preaching ministry is incredible. That apostolic ministry of proclaiming God's truth, the gospel of Christ, the life to be lived in response to salvation, he boldly proclaimed it consistently, constantly, all the time. So it is in regards to his preaching or proclaiming God's truth, with boldness and humility that he says, verse 17, therefore, in Christ Jesus, I have found reason for boasting in the things pertaining to God. That's what he's talking about. The nature of that boasting, he explains in verse 18. He's not boasting in himself. He's boasting in the things pertaining to God. The nature of it is in verse 18, for I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed. Now get this. Paul's not boasting about what he has accomplished, but only in what Christ has accomplished through him. In his boldness to share the gospel with someone. Hang on a minute. Did you get what I just said? You know, we're just vessels, aren't we? Right? We got the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, the new life in Christ, new nature that we can live and walk with the Lord. And he asks us to be bold in saying the word of God, the truth of God's word, the way of God for us, the way we live, the way of the gospel. But if anything changes, if anything happens, right, it's God who did it, right? We don't do it. We're just vessels, right, to be used by God, right? The power is not me. It's not me in saying what is true. The power is that God takes his truth and changes our life. Amen? Right? That's how it works. That's what Paul is saying. I'm boasting in things pertaining to God. Hey, I'm just going to talk to you about the things that God is accomplishing through me in boldness to share the gospel with someone. Listen to this. Or to come alongside a brother or sister and share God's truth on behavior and belief. Or to bring up your children in the discipline and instruction of God. If any salvation happens or any maturity or growth or being encouraged or being built up in the faith, people becoming complete in Christ, front of the bulletin happens. Christ accomplished that through you. You didn't accomplish it. You didn't do it. I can't save anybody. You can't either. I love my grandchildren. I want to share the gospel with them. I want to tell them about Christ. I want to give them the hope. But I have to rely on God to do his work, and he is sovereign over his work. That's what we have to recognize and know and accept. That's what Paul is saying. Paul wasn't changing the world. Paul was just a vessel that God used, and then God changed the world. We can't fix America. We can't fix our community. We can't fix our country or our state, our nation. We need to stand up for what's true, what's right, all those kind of things. But whose power is going to change things? It's all in him, isn't it? And that's what we trust in and we believe in. But you know, if we shut our mouth and we don't say what God's word is into the truth, there's no vessel to be used. He doesn't do it. He can do anything he wants to do. God is sovereign over it all. Nothing's impossible with God. But you partner in faith with the God of this universe is what he's talking about. And he's the one in charge. This is amazing. You want hope? What's God going to do tomorrow? I don't know, but he's going to use me as a vessel for his glory. That's what he's going to do. I don't know, what's he going to do? He's going to use me for a vessel of his glory. I can share the word of God with someone in here and encourage you to walk in the Lord. It might be an admonishment. It might be harsh. But if anything changes, it's God, it's not me. That's the truth of God's word. And you know what? We're afraid to talk it because we think it's us. It never was about me. If you don't like it, don't like God. But I have a responsibility to say what God says. My wife has a responsibility to tell me, honey, that's not what God wants in your life. If I don't like it, she says, well, talk to him. I'm just trying to be obedient to him. I can't make it about her. Because it never was about her. I'm thankful she'll be obedient to the Lord. Because that's what I need. We partner in that. We're proclaimers of the good news of Jesus Christ. We're proclaimers. We're just available vessels. Any power of the Spirit, any obedience of the lost to believe, any obedience of the believer to change and grow, it is God at work through you, not you. And so when you change, just go, thank you, Lord. Because that's you at work in my life. Praise him. It wasn't in a man, it wasn't in a counselor, it wasn't in anybody. It was you and God spoke to you, and God came into your life. God worked. If it's not happening, it's God who you're rejecting. It's never man's fault. It's you rejecting God. Look at the front of your bulletin. Paul said, we proclaim him, that's us, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom so that we may present every man complete in Christ. Be a vessel for God. Paul says in the next verse, for this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. So it's God's power at work through in my life, through me, it's not me. So Paul says back in Romans 15:19, I fully preached the truth of salvation found in Christ, God's way of life for the believer. Because God's power is at work. I boast in the things pertaining to God because God uses it to change lives. Did you catch that? We are also partners in the preaching and proclaiming of the gospel of God and the way, his way for us. Right? Not like Paul. But we've already seen that we're able to speak the truth. We already looked at that. Last point. Paul the pioneer. This is going to encourage your life. Encourage you today. This word, this truth that God is speaking to us, we need your encouragement, Lord. We need your courage. We need you and you alone and your power to work in our life. And we trust from your word that that's what you're speaking into our heart. And that's what you're doing into our lives. And here the Paul is a pioneer. Verse 20 and 21, look what it says. And thus I aspired to preach the gospel, not where Christ was already named, so that I would not build on another man's foundation. But as it is written, they who had no news of him shall see. And they who have not heard shall understand. Man, when I worked through this yesterday, it got me too. Paul was one of the God's earliest pioneers, wasn't he? He boldly proclaimed the gospel of Christ. He went where no one has gone before. What's that line from? Come on, help me. It's Trekkies. I got you Trekkies today. That was just for you. I wrote that down, and I wrote in, I think, just for the Trekkies today. Are you going to go where God wants you to go, where no man's gone before? Are you going to tell somebody about Christ that hasn't heard the truth? Because Isaiah 52:15, that's what he's quoting, says, they had no news. When they got the news, they saw. That's what happened to me. I want to say it right. It is 52:15, right? Yeah. They had no news of him. Shall see him. They had no news of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, as Emmanuel, as Messiah. They didn't hear the good news. And then we shared it, Paul shared it, somebody shared it, and they heard. And it says it like this, they heard, they saw, and they who have not heard shall understand. Then they heard, and they understood, they believed. That's what he's talking about. It should overwhelm your heart today. In his heart, this was the heart of Paul. In the heart was the confidence that if he told them the good news of Jesus Christ, some would see and hear and respond and repent and believe. That the power of God would work through him, work through his obedience to proclaim God's truth to the lost and to the church. So he offered that obedience to speak boldly as a spiritual offering to God as a priesthood, partnering with me and you along the way in the faith. That's a pretty good defense to say what needs to be said. What do you think? That's what he did. That's his defense. That's ours. Each one of us here today, in a small way, are all pioneers. Whether it's your spouse, your children, your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, or someone God brought your way. God wants to use you to speak boldly the news of Jesus Christ. Some will see and hear and understand and believe. By his power, he changes life. You offer as a priesthood the sharing and proclaiming of God's truth, the gospel, and the instructions from his word as to correct behavior and belief as your spiritual sacrifice to the Lord, all the while partnering together in the faith. That's what God just said. That's what we're doing. That's our life. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Why? Because the love of Christ controls, compels, motivates us to love our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Christ-centered living. That's what this is. This is the whole Bible. This is what he calls Christians in their life to do. We should never quit talking about what we learned from God's word in the study of Romans or any other word of God. We should talk about it all the time. We should help each other with it, talk about the truths of salvation, the way of life for us, and listen. I'll close with this morning. The Apostle Paul, in chapter 1, verse 11, as he began to write to this church, in this letter, he told the church that he longed to see them and help establish them. Chapter 1, it has a lot of that in there, but I want you to hear verse 12. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us, by the other's faith, both yours and mine. That's what God is doing here at Living Word Fellowship in our lives. That's what he's doing. That's by the word of God and what he's doing as we are gathering, as we get together. This is why we talk about the truth of Scripture. This is why we teach the Bible. This is why we know to honor our Lord Jesus Christ, we must gather and have church. We must have church and minister together. Only the enemy would want us not to. So we to be encouraged together. No greater way to be than to talk about God's truth for the Christian. Say what God wants us to say. Always, ultimately, to be encouraged in our life together in Christ. That's church. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning and for your word to us and for just the encouragement that comes from us, Lord. It isn't that we go stand on the street corner and yell, Jesus saves, or, you know, it's okay to have signs, it's okay to be bold in those kind of ways. And in that, you call people to that. But it's each one of us in our own lives and who we are, the boldness to have courage to do something, to have the courage and confidence that comes from God in knowing what God's truth is and knowing what to come alongside and say what God's word says, to say what needs to be said, to share Christ, especially in this time. I mean, you don't have to just, you got to go to one store in this town and there's somebody there that you can share Christ with. Help us be vessels. Help us to be an encouragement to each other, to say the things that we need to say to each other. Help us receive what others say to us. That's a hard thing, Lord. To know that that person that's talking to me is a partner in my faith. And that what they're trying to do is they're trying to honor their lives by offering the God's truth, the truth of Christ, offering it as like a priesthood, offering it up and say, I'm just here to be a vessel for you, Lord, and proclaim what your word says. For you to use, Lord, we know it's your power to help us walk in a manner worthy of the calling which we've been called. And all of us need to grow. There's nobody here that doesn't. We recognize that. And thank you for your loving kindness. What a song today. Your grace and your mercy, love, to fill our heart that we would really truly love others like Christ loves us. I know the Lord said a lot of hard things in my life. Been the best things I've ever heard. We thank you for that. Thank you for this day of worship. We lift up our nation. Pray for its leadership as you call us to. Turning them over to you. Appealing to you for your salvation in their life. Appealing to you for the truth of God's word to work in their life. And whatever the outcome, you're sovereign over. But we can walk in peace and quietness because we have laid it at the throne of God and said, God, we trust in our God. We thank you and praise you for the day you've given. In Christ's name we pray, amen. We're dismissed for this morning.